Welcome to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word verse by verse. Living the Adventure, and our program which immediately follows this broadcast, Three Guys and a Mic, is hosted by City Church Ministries. Why not invite a friend to join you in listening as we learn together from God's Word? Now, again, join us immediately following Living the Adventure for our live discussion of our lesson on our Three Guys and a Mic radio, where we seek to understand the lesson for the day and give expression from the experience of our Three Guys team to practically apply God's Word on a daily basis. To listen to any of the Living Adventure broadcasts, just go to www.sdccm.org, sdccm.org, and on the front page, you'll find most recent notes, and to hear the broadcast over on the left, just scroll down a little bit and click on View All Episodes, then choose between Ephesians or Colossians. Presently, we're in Colossians. Then choose the broadcast you would like to hear. I want to say thank you to all who support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is really appreciated. Everybody's, you know, in a tight place today, and I won't get into all that. You're aware of all that's going on. But if you're enjoying these studies from God's Word, would you consider partnering with us to help the financial costs to produce these programs each week? Every little bit helps, and so we just ask you to pray about it and see if you're able to help us with keeping the broadcast on the air. Every donation helps in extending God's Word of truth. Now, you can write us with any comments, any requests, or if you're helping in support, you can write CCM, that's City Church Ministry, CCM, P.O. Box 152388, San Diego, California, 92195. And if you'd like to use PayPal, you could do that, www.paypal@sdccm.org. And make sure you mark your gift as friend so that it all comes to CCM. I want to thank you right now. We always give a tax receipt at the end of the year. We send those out, but we say big thank you right now. So let's pray and begin today's lesson in Colossians 1. And we're going to look at 8 through 12 here today. Father, in Jesus' name, we're here looking to you. We need the grace of God to help us in our study of your word. We know that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us spiritual understanding and the ability to apply what we're learning in our daily life, in our daily walk, as a disciple of Jesus, as one who is called to disciple others. May we be faithful in the call of God in our lives. Thank you for our listeners. We bless them and say thank you for their lives and ask you to meet all their needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We pray this in his name alone. Amen. Okay, well, to catch the whole thought here, let's look at this and start with verse 7. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a tremendous portion of Scripture as we're moving along in the book of Colossians. The Lord's showing things and taking us even deeper into understanding and hopefully application of these areas in our life. We are so appreciative of God's faithfulness in this regard. Now, Epaphras is a servant with Paul. He was part of Paul's apostolic team. Paul calls him a fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Epaphras was a servant with Paul. This is very important. Paul isn't saying, well, you know, I'm the apostle and he's my assistant. No, he calls him a fellow servant. That's how we need to see. That's how we need to look at one another. We need to kind of get away from this hierarchy, political kind of thinking. We need to come into the fellowship. We need to come into the relationship. It's true that Paul carried the greater authority. It's true. Paul had a unique call from the Lord Jesus Christ as he met Christ on the road to Damascus to put saints in prison and a tremendous transformation. It's true. He became known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And yet when he speaks of Epaphras, he says, a servant with Paul, part of Paul's apostolic team, a fellow servant, a faithful minister. Servanthood, let's just think about that for a moment, is a primary foundation for the people of God. We are servants of our King and are to be servants with and for one another. Servanthood suggests humility. Humility is what permits the Lord to raise and lift us up. Therefore, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. This leads to victory over the devil and brings the believer to perfection. As you go on and you read Peter, he gets into that in the next several verses of how we overcome the enemy. We start in humility. That's how Jesus came, in humility. That's how Jesus died, in humility. We are called to that, humility. Any element of leadership has to be built on humility. If it's ordained of God, if it's from God, that's the foundation of serving. The Bible goes on to say, be sober. I think I'll read these scriptures. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I'm reading up in the New King James Version. Tremendous verses that's worthy to go back and look and study and meditate on and let the Holy Spirit just speak to you about them. Now listen, let's talk about this word faithfulness. Faithfulness is another value that is expected in the life of the believer and especially in the life of a Christian leader. From Jesus to the apostles, to elders or shepherds of the flock, and in the community of the believers, faithfulness is an absolute expected fruit. The reason faithfulness is so important is that we are born of Christ's Spirit. His life dwells in us. That life is a life of faithfulness. Again, here in verse 8, we're brought back. We see that Epaphras brought back reports to Paul about their love in the Spirit for Paul. Love in the Spirit is the most important fruit there is. Faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. It is amazing that the saints who had never seen Paul, loved Paul, and became part of the community, who recognized who Paul is and his need for their constant prayers. Now, verse 9 calls us to be stimulated to prayer. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing in him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It goes on in verse 11 to say, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And then verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, I prayed over that, and I said, Lord, what do we do here? What do you want me to share? And here's what I felt, that we see here in verses 9, 10, and 11, three verses that are so important to our understanding of how the Lord has connected his body in love through prayer and supplication. Now, consider the apostle's concern for these saints when he says, for this reason, we also. He's talking about his team, talking about Epaphras. He's talking about the team. Do not cease to pray for you. He's clear. He's focused. You could say laser-type prayer is what he's talking about. Now, let's break this down in our broadcast today. Let's look at what we have, what he's calling us to in prayer. And I want to break it down, break these verses down into more bite-sized pieces. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 things here. Number one, filled with the knowledge of his will. What does that mean, to be filled with the knowledge of his will? Well, first, it's the reason that it is so important to understand the mysteries of God. It is in those mysteries which the disciples received grace to understand. We find the will of God revealed. Now, today on the broadcast, I can't go into all the mysteries. And I've talked about them a little bit in the past, the mysteries of God, which are really the message of the kingdom, the covenant that God has given to us. You know, things like the mystery of godliness, the mystery of Christ's regeneration, the mystery of his will. We need to be familiar in the Word of God with all of these things, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness, the mystery of Christ and his church, the mystery of the restoration of Israel, the mystery Babylon, the book of Revelation speaks about, oh, the mystery of change in the resurrection and the coming of Christ. All of those things need to be looked at and studied and understood. And that's what it means to be filled with the knowledge of his will. What we need to understand is that those mysteries, they're really the teachings of the Old Testament, but it was in mystery form. It wasn't revealed. It was a foreshadowing. They are what the parables of Jesus were about. They were in mystery. The Pharisees didn't understand. And when they did finally figure some parables out, they knew he was talking about them, and they got angry and plotted to murder him. They are really the keys of the kingdom and the foundation of Christ's eternal work. They provide the correct context of the doctrines of the New Testament. Okay, so we need to pray over that. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's how Paul was praying. We need to pray for each other. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Number two, in all wisdom. So the great need of knowledge is to have the wisdom to apply the knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Number three, third area that Paul lists here is spiritual understanding. What is spiritual understanding? This is when the Holy Spirit graces you with the ability to see things as God sees them. This grace is available for all believers who will diligently search the Scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit for proper understanding of interpretation and application. Every believer can enter into this. Number four, that they might walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord is given to the one who embraces Christ as Lord of their life, surrendering to his guidance and surrendering to his direction. Number five, that they might fully please him. When our whole desire is to serve the Lord's kingdom and will, we put into action by obedience, it can be said that we fully please the Lord. Number six, that they might be fruitful in every good work. The Father and the Son are looking for the fruit of the vineyard. What is the fruit? It is the multiplying the life of Christ, which was given to us by the Holy Spirit through our ministering that life to others in love. See, people come into being born again through Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, there might be unique situations like Paul's, but the way God designed this is it's the body together praying and ministering, serving others in love that produces the environment for men and women to be born again and come into the kingdom of God. Number seven, increasing in the knowledge of God. Always asking for God's will to be revealed. We need God's will to be revealed to us so we might do the Father's bidding, not our own. Remember, Jesus said, I don't do my own thing. I only do what the Father's doing. I only say what the Father's saying. That's what God wants us to come into that place. Number eight, to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. This might be explained in coming often to his throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. We pray that prayer on this program quite often because I need it to come boldly to his throne of grace, to obtain mercy. I need that mercy from that throne of grace to help me in my time of need. And I seem to be always in need. Do you relate what I'm saying? I'm always coming boldly. I can come boldly. Why? Because I know the inheritance that's mine in Christ. And I come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. God, have mercy on me in this situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it, but you do. And we find the help we need to be fully dependent upon him, what? In all things. And number nine, strengthened with all patience. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Don't we need patience? I do. But that means there's going to be some trials. How easy it is to lose patience, especially with people. We need to ask and depend upon the Lord to empower us with his patience. Number 10, and long-suffering with joy. So this includes what? Long-suffering. So patience and long-suffering are connected together. And the Bible calls us to do that in joy. So how do you know you are strengthened with long-suffering? Well, the joy you have in waiting for the results, seeing what God wants to do, waiting on God, and expecting faith established in hope, expecting the move of God in those things that you're seeking him about concerning his will as he has revealed it. Now, I've listed for us these 10 prayer requests. Which you can ask your pastor to pray for you. You can take and say, Pastor, I really am desiring to please God. Would you pray for me? Would you ask God to help me? Or maybe it's that partner you have in prayer, or maybe it's in that house group that you're saying, would you pray for me? I really have a desire to fully please him. And see, you could take any one of these areas I've given you, and you can ask others to pray for you, but you can pray yourself, and you can pray for others in regard to what Paul has given to us here in a very nice outline of prayer and intercession and supplication. Oh, this is tremendous. Now, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You are qualified by the blood of Christ through obedience to the Word and the Spirit. So we need to take time to read. We need to take time to meditate upon the Word of God, upon these scriptures. As we go through Colossians, we should go back and reread. We should meditate and give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Father. And the Bible declares, if you're a Christian, if you've put your faith in Christ, if you've invited him into your life, forgive your sins, and you've made him your Lord, you are a disciple. You are a follower of Jesus. You are a son or a daughter of God. And in your giving thanks, you need to say, thank you, Lord, that you qualified me. And qualified me for what? Well, yeah, we talk about going to heaven someday. We talk about the future. But listen, the qualification is right now. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week in the area of inheritance. We have a huge inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it reaches right out of time and space into eternity. So it's true. The blessed hope of the church is the glorious return of the Lord Jesus. When we, those that are dead are raised first, and we that remain are caught up with them in the air with Christ, and forever we'll be with the Lord. That will be the finished product. That will be the full manifestation of what the Lord has done. That's why it's called the blessed hope. It's not just a hope, it's the blessed hope. Okay? But we need to start today. Don't put it off into the future. Don't wait till Jesus comes. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss all the blessing. We talked about it last week. There will be a place of standing before the Lord. We will be judged for the works that were done. Are they gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble? The fire will test it. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be consumed. Nothing there except the salvation, the redemption. No reward. No. We don't know what that means altogether. But the Bible talks about it. But if it's gold, silver, precious stones, if it's what the Lord has given by his grace, then it becomes pure through the fire. As we're tested by fire, as we go through the trials and the tribulations and the challenges of life, the impurities are brought to the surface. Can you see what we're saying here on verse 12? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. See, we begin to draw now, not future, now. We draw from the total of the inheritance, which we can't even comprehend. We begin to draw from that now. Going back to that scripture, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. When we come boldly to the throne of grace, we're reaching up to heaven, and we're drawing from our inheritance that Christ has provided for us. We're asking heaven to come to earth. We're asking God to come and strengthen, God to come and meet with us now in this life, even as we're going through trials and tribulations, challenges that are bigger than us, that are greater than us. We live in a day and an hour, as I'm bringing this message today. We live in a time in our country. The challenges are bigger than any person. The challenges that we face are huge, and they're not just our nation, but they're around the world. It's a global activity that we're involved in right now that's affecting all the nations. But it's God that we need to get our eyes upon, and we need to draw from our inheritance to be strengthened, to be the answer in the culture. And that answer is in Christ. There's no other way to put it. There's many, many aspects of the inheritance, but the answer is in Christ. Christ is our hope of glory. You, beloved, if you put your faith in Christ, if the blood of Christ has washed you and cleansed you, and you have entered in to obedience to the Word and the Spirit, you can draw from that inheritance and be strengthened. It's for you, so that we, as His people, might be light in the world where there's all kinds of darkness. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this writing of Paul's to the church at Colossae. Thank you, Lord, that it's eternal, that it's not just for them 2,000 years ago. It's for us today, that everything we read today is active today, can be received today, that every saint that's listening to my voice can receive it today, that our inheritance is available to us, whatever we need. You said that you would supply. Paul encouraged us that you'll supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that falls into this realm of inheritance. So, Father, in Jesus' name, help your people. And, Lord, if there's any listening to my sound and my voice that don't know Christ, they've never received Christ, may today be the day they bow and they say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me with your blood. I put my faith in you and trust in the Lord and make him Lord of your life. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Stay tuned for Three Guys and a Mic. Walk with the King.